Today is Palm Sunday. I'm always excited. It's one of those Sundays that can be confusing. It can be frustrating for some because they don't quite really fully understand it. But when you delve right into it, it's actually quite interesting, and I like it. So we're going to look at it, this celebration, but we're also going to figure out why. The reactions of what was going on at that time, why they were the way they were. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. And it says this, as they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage on the mountain of Olives, on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while the others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And we're going to show a video for you right now.
Okay, let me get this out of the way. I didn't steal that donkey, okay? I borrowed it. And it wasn't even my idea. Jesus told me to take it, to borrow it, right? Okay, this is how it happened. Earlier today, there was a large group of us, and we were traveling from Bethany to Jerusalem. We stopped just outside the city, and Jesus looked at two of us, and he said there was an unridden donkey just inside the village and asked us to go get it. He said, if anybody, you know, asks us about it, we could just look at him and say, the Lord needs it and he'll send it back. So the two of us beat it into town. And the whole time we were like, what is Jesus going to do with a donkey, right? But by this point, we realized you don't second guess Jesus, right? He hadn't told us why and we didn't ask. We just got him a donkey. And when we got back, that's when it happened. Some people put their coats on the donkey, and Jesus got on the donkey, and when he got on the donkey, I don't know. It's like everyone started shouting and dancing and singing, and some people were throwing their coats in front of the donkey. There was some of us that grabbed some palm branches and we started waving them in the air, and that's when it clicked. Jesus had finally arrived. I know that sounds weird. It's like this. In the past, we would get excited because Jesus would do something, a miracle, or there would be some parable or something he said. We'd get excited about it. And Jesus would always be like, shh, come on, guys. No, nope. Just be quiet, you know. And then we'd come up with some idea. Hey, let's do this or let's do that. And Jesus would be like, no, guys, not now. Not now. But today? Today was now. Today, he finally let us shout and sing and dance and treat him like the Messiah that we'd all been waiting for. He finally showed up. I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. It feels like it's something big, but who knows, you know? But it doesn't matter what happens. because Jesus showed up. And there, there's nothing better than when Jesus shows up.
It's a great illustration of what was happening on that Palm Sunday. So I compare Palm Sunday with the confusion of when you've been talking to someone, and no matter how you explain yourself, no matter what angle you get at, no matter where you come from, how you illustrate it, it doesn't seem to go through. Have you ever had to try to do that? Where it's just not making any sense? Wives, you're nodding their heads. Teachers are a gift from God. And I say this because they have a classroom of however many kids, students of all different ages, and they have to figure out how to communicate to those kids. Have you ever been in a classroom? How many volunteered at an elementary school in any sort of way? Okay, so you can understand the difficulty of doing that, of trying to get something across to a whole bunch of people who all differently think and learn differently. They're not all the same. I think we've all had this experience no matter what we do, but I think teachers have it the most difficult, and they have it every day of their lives, trying to explain these type of things. When you look at it like that, you notice that Jesus had patience beyond anyone you can imagine. The patience to tell it. So he's been telling them things for quite a while. So think about it. He's been telling them, my kingdom is not of this world. He's been telling the disciples in John 18, 36. Then he says, who do people say I am? In Mark 8, 27. And Peter says, you're the Christ. Peter wanted a conquering hero. We know about Peter. We've talked about Peter before. He's a tough guy. He wanted somebody to come in and take care of business. And Jesus told Peter exactly what was going to happen in Mark chapter 8. He tells him, this is what we're going to do. And what does Peter? He gives him a little chat, a little talking to, a little sit down. He sits down Jesus and says, guess what? You got to stop talking like that. And Peter wouldn't have it. And Jesus was trying to explain to him about death and suffering and what he was going to go through. And he wouldn't do it. And many of the disciples really didn't fully understand what Jesus was talking about. They had their own preconceived ideas, and I've told you this a million times because it paints the picture of why things are written, why they are in the Bible. The background, the understanding of the Jews, of Israel, and everything they went through. And so they had their own idea. They had their own preconceived ideas. And so we know that there were three different views within Judaism about who the Messiah would be. I've mentioned this. He would be a kingly leader like David, a warrior, a great political king to free Israel from the Romans. Many thought he would be a great prophet like Moses, that the Messiah would come and give leadership directly from God and would fully interpret this complex book of laws that they had. A person of warning. Just someone who could answer all their questions. Others thought he would be a priest that would represent Israel before God just to forgive their sins. So there's these three ideals that they thought about. This is what they knew. This is what they were taught. This is what was passed down generation after generation. So why would God do anything differently? He's used judges, prophets, kings. He's used it all. He's used other nations. He's done all sorts of stuff. But they feel there's a pattern. So why would he do it? Historically, roles as prophet, priest, and king were done by separate individuals. So my question is, how could one person fulfill it all? And as we see throughout Israel's history, they couldn't fulfill it all because they got in their own way, as we talked about. And so they knew that something was going to happen. So when we read the story of the laying of palm branches before Jesus and think, that's a little silly because we already know the end. But they didn't. They didn't have a clue. Palm trees and donkeys represented kingship. And so they did this as royalty. So they're treating Jesus as royalty. Picture what the scripture is trying to say. Jesus comes down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem and triggers what the Jewish person would know very well in Zechariah's prophecy in Zechariah 14:4 of the Lord fighting against the nations with his feet on the Mount of Olives. So you've been training this your whole life. Jesus comes down from the Mount of Olives. You're going, wait a minute. Everyone's saying he's the Messiah. He's coming down from the Mount. They know this scripture so well. And in Zechariah 9:9, where the king comes riding on a donkey, right there. So, all this happens, as a Jewish person, you're going, the Messiah's arrived. That's why they're so excited. It's a glorious day. He comes in humbly, riding on a donkey, from the Mount of Olives at the busiest time of the year, the Passover. And he's arriving like a king. The people are laying their clothes and palm branches on the path for him. It's a symbol of victory. When a king came back from a battle and won, it was royalty, then it was he's a victor. So Jesus is now a king and a victor. But of what? Three different views. And so when we bring the cultures together of that time, we see there is no confusion as to what is being the message that's being sent. We know what's being said. People are going to be set free. And Jesus is the one that's going to do it. So you can understand how Roman authorities are going, whoa, wait a minute. You can see how the religious people are going, hey, hang on a minute. No, 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 we're the religious authority here. And the political powers are saying, we're actually ultimately in charge of everything. And you're calling him king? Caesar was a god. You don't mess around with these guys. And so there's some big statements being sent. And so this Passover season, there's messianic excitement that would always run through the streets, through the people, and they were excited for this to happen. People would travel all over the place to get there. And so all the rumors about the things that Jesus had been doing, all the stuff that people have been talking about, all the things he did, they've been waiting for it, and Jesus now shows up. And they bring him in. As a famous person once said, they bring him in bigly. There was an expectation, and the scene was set. And so here he comes. And when I think about this story, I can't help but think sometimes we are no different. And in times of expectations, we would probably do the same thing. And that's how churches get into trouble with fads, trying to stir up and create revival and excitement for their own personal reason. It can be easily done. And when we stir it up and it's not authentic and it's not real and it's misunderstood, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. That's when we get ourselves into trouble. That's when churches get into trouble with things they think are right but are not. But we do that in our own personal lives, too. I've found that these days there are a lot of gray areas, but the black and whites are still black and white. They're still black and white. But there's some grays. And so sometimes we can go to the wall for something and be embarrassed. And what happens when people go to the wall for a theology or a belief or something and it turns out to be false? They feel embarrassed. And they're not bad people. They were just missing it because they wanted something to happen so bad that they grabbed onto anything. And it overtook them. And we can be that way too. Have you ever wanted something so bad that it just overtakes you? You can't stop thinking about it. And then you do anything to make it happen, even force it. And so we have to be very careful that we don't bring that type of mindset into our spiritual life, as well into our everyday living. And so realizing the mistakes people made, what can we learn from these verses? What can we talk about here? Well, know that in a life when Jesus shows up, things are not going to always be as we expect. So with Jesus, prepare for the unexpected. I could preach this till the cows come home, because I know that God doesn't always do it the way I want him to. It's unfortunate because he doesn't realize how wise I am. And I know you feel the same way. But he just doesn't listen. I think of the Omegas going to Poland. Have you ever gone on a missions trip of the unknown? And you're expecting God to do some awesome things? Have you ever, in the past, asked God to do something and relied on him to the point where you really didn't know what direction, you really didn't know the answers, you're just relying. You knew that he said go and do whatever that is, but you didn't know what or how you were going to do it. He just said, you need to be there. Have you ever done that? Relied on him so much that he had to be there? I remember the early days in ministry, not making any money, needing food, kids to feed, and food just pops up. And I'm going, God, I'm doing what you want, but if you starve my family, I'm going to be pretty ticked right now. So I don't know what to do. And I've told the story of where the doorbell would ring, I'd walk out, and there's vegetables just in a giant box. And I had no money to buy or pay for these. We had a car that broke down once, same era of no money. And trust me, Bible college students, I get it. I understand how it goes. But going into ministry, you sacrifice. And we had this car and it broke down, and a gentleman came to the door crying. I was standing out there staring at my engine. And Michelle brings him to me and says, I don't know why, but God wants me to give you this envelope. So he gives, and I'm like, okay. I open up the envelope and there's money in it. There's some changes, some bills, and then there's some money, like change, bills, all that. And I was like, okay, thanks. He goes, go fix your car. But he doesn't know what's wrong with it. And I, at the time, was looking at it, thinking it would just pop out and fix itself because I was frustrated. And I had no money, so there's no way I can fix it. So I'm like, well, God, this has now become your problem, so I don't know what to do. And I just stared at it. So I figured it out. We kind of worked on it together, and it was an alternator. And so we went and got the alternator, and I went and got it. Sorry, he left, and I went and I put the money out, and it was to the exact penny that the alternator cost. How would he know that? And people say, oh, there is probably some. No, there was zero money left in the thing, and I had no money. It was legit. And to me, that's a miracle. That's God pouring into somebody. And I relied on God for that. Not for money, but for him to fix these things that went haywire when I'm trying to do ministry and whatever. And they were teaching me a lesson. He was teaching me to rely on him. Expect the unexpected. I didn't expect this person to come. I didn't think he had any money. Turns out he did. Turns out he saved a lot of money and he helped people all the time. And so my question for you today is, have you relied on God lately, that intense? Have you stepped out in faith? That's what we kind of used to call it. Have you stepped out in faith? What does that mean? Are you doing something you don't really, you know God's telling you, but you don't really know what's going to come about? Have you done that lately? Have I done that lately? We have to ask ourselves these questions. We need to be ready in life for anything, and good or bad, God can rattle you sometimes. I'm here to tell you today, let him rattle you. Let him rattle your life a little bit. And you say, hey, my life's rattled. But is it rattled in a way where God is doing something, or is it rattled because you're making poor choices? There's a difference. You need to know the difference. And poor choices, you may learn, unless you're doing the same thing over and over again, but you may learn. But is that God teaching you? You need to be in tune with him to know. And so expect and be prepared for the unexpected. As the Omegas go off to Poland, there's going to be things they've never seen before. It's a different country, different place. Poland's not the same as Thailand. Poland's not the same as Brazil. It's not the same. It's different. If you really want to rattle yourself and you really want to change the way you think, take a walk down Langley City. Go down into Newton. Take a wander. There's a dose of reality. And so be prepared for anything. I guarantee, you know, obviously be safe, but I talked to a lot of homeless people, and they got some good stories. You got to weed through some of the nonsense, because a lot of times they want cash. I don't give them cash, but I will buy them food and I will talk to them. And I'm telling you, you'd be prepared for the unexpected. And a lot of times they actually surprise me quite a bit. They surprise me a lot because they are very personable. You just got to listen. If they're not trying to scam you for something, because I get it, they got to work you. They got to work the streets. That's how they live. But I had one guy try that. By the time I was done with him, he was trying to give me a pair of jeans. I'm pretty sure they were hot. And I mean stolen. And I didn't mean they were hot pants or like tight jeans. I just meant they were jeans. You got me. And I'm like, no. First of all, I don't want stolen goods. And second of all, I can't take that from you. And he's like, no, I want to give this to you. You talk to me. We hung out. It's like, it's okay. That's all right. I'm not looking for anything. You don't need to give me anything. I'm here to talk to you. And so he kept his pants. And I said, oh, I've gained a lot of weight lately. It's probably a 36. He goes, it's a 36. I still can't take them from you. Thank you. That wasn't a sign from God. See the difference, how we know? But be prepared for the unexpected. Things don't always go the way we want them. It's part of life, and you'll find yourself in situations where the circumstances are not expected. Guess what? Figure it out. Whether it's your job, your school, your family, whatever it is, take the time to look from some different perspectives. Just take the time. We've all been disappointed in something, in someone. We've had great expectations, and when we arrive at the event, it's not there. And you can't seem to pump it up. You can't do anything to make it happen. And you build it up so high that when it happens, you're overwhelmed. I can see how the Israelites at this time have been waiting for so long, and it becomes all-consuming because God hasn't done anything in so long. And so they want this. Don't be that person that always seems shocked by everything. Be ready. Be ready to make a change when you need to, whatever that may be. In a life with Jesus, when he shows up, I want you to dare to be a disciple, which means putting Jesus first above everything else. That's the tough part. We put our own dreams first. We always put us first. And I can tell you by talking to somebody, if their mind is in ministry or it is in just they don't know what to do, there's a difference. There's the searching part, which is fine, but there's a time when it's always about them. Well, I don't know. But there's a time when it needs to be, you know what, He's got something going for me. This is where I am in my position. This is where I am. I'm leaning on him to direct me in the direction. It sounds super spiritual, but it's not. It's actual truth if you're doing that. And to be a disciple means putting him first, not our own dreams. We've all had dreams that we wanted. Many people who give their lives to full-time ministry and just put on that had other dreams. You had other dreams of where you are right now. It's not a bad thing. It's part of what made you who you are. I wanted to be, and I kid you not, a fighter pilot and an astronaut. Don't laugh. It's not funny. I'm kidding. It's funny. It's pretty funny now. At the time. And what God changed me and turned me into what he wanted. And I'm still trying to be what he wants. I'm not there yet. And so I try to put him first in everything. And I hate saying it, but dreams don't always come true, whatever those dreams are. But God has a plan, and his plan is perfect. And what your plan is different than my plan. And where he wants you to go is different than where he wants me to go. And so what happens is we get so caught up that we miss what we already have right now, right here. And that's one part of the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem that I love, is that they actually, even though they had their own ideas, they were in the now. They were expecting, they were excited. They didn't understand it, but they were excited, and they were in the now. They got excited, they celebrated. It was a good time. Maybe it was a misunderstanding of what Jesus was going to be, but that's why I like it, because it lets us know that sometimes when we're going this way, God goes, we're going that way. Sorry. And so in your life, no matter what age you are, what's God doing? How's he talking to you? How's he speaking to you? Do you care about Jesus above your own dreams? Many who shouted Hosanna when Jesus came into the city were shouting crucify him not too long after, because it kind of disappointed them. It's kind of a bummer. You said you were going to be a king, and now they're going to crucify you. This is not a good thing. What about my dreams? What about my life, that you were going to take me out of this under Roman authority? You're going to take me out of that, out of persecution. And so in your life, do you put what you believe Jesus wants you to do first, or are you focused on your own dreams? And have you tricked yourself into thinking that that's what God wants? Because Jesus wasn't what they originally thought he should be, and so they turned on him. And so this season, I mean, we're coming up, Good Friday's coming and Easter Sunday. I want you to think about where you are. What is God doing in your life? Are you expecting the unexpected? Are you preparing? Is really all it is, for what God wants. Are you putting him first? Are you a disciple? Dove in. They left their whole life for what Jesus was preaching. Where are you at today? And there's no judgment here. It's just we're all at different places. But what have you done lately for Jesus? Now, after understanding their culture, I can see why they were so consumed by their own ideas. They never took the time to stop and think that they might be wrong. And so today, as we prep for Good Friday and Easter, can you stop and think, maybe I'm wrong where God wants me to be. Maybe I need to be here instead of here. Just think about it. Whether that's personal growth, whether that's what you're doing with your life, whatever that is, only you know. What path are you on? Are you putting Christ first? I'm going to ask the band to come, and they're going to sing a song, and I want you to celebrate that Jesus can give you that answer. It might not be an easy journey, it might not be an easy path, but he can give you that answer. He's bigger than you can imagine. He does things that don't fit with how we think they should go. So always be prepared. I can promise you he's going to surprise you each time. But be prepared and go with what God wants for you. Sometimes we need to step back and take a look at the whole picture of our lives and what God is wanting us to do. And when we do that, maybe we will see things from a different perspective, from a godly perspective, and realize that Jesus has already shown up. And as we talked last week, it's just maybe we're in the way. Maybe we're the ones that haven't shown up yet, and Jesus is already there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your son. We thank you for the example of these scriptures and how there was an expectation. Let us not put our expectations on you, our own personal expectations. Let us be in a mindset of where you want us to be, whatever that looks like. It doesn't necessarily mean we leave our jobs, but it means maybe we serve in a different area. Maybe we've been putting things off because we just didn't want to do it, but we should. Whatever it looks like, missions trips, whatever. I ask you to make some clarity in our minds of what you would like, of the direction each and every one here needs to go and their giftings, utilize them, utilize their talents and abilities. We lift this congregation up to you. Let us be ready to expect the unexpected from you as we prepare for Good Friday and Easter, and let us be disciples of Jesus first, and then we will know exactly where we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you hopefully Good Friday and Easter Sunday.